ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Well, we've been looking forward to being here for some time, especially meeting the Sacred Street Party. And several years ago, Govinda Shyam came by when we were in the San Francisco airport in 2013. We were on our way to the Prabhupada Festival in Los Angeles. He was on his way to the Sadhu Sangha in Austin, Texas. We happened to be standing in line, and I was wearing a dhoti, so he came over and said, "Hare Krishna, why don't you come to Crawley?" So he's very powerful. And this is the best kind of program that you can have. They're not encumbered with huge brick and mortar situation. You can have lots of kirtan, lots of book distribution, sankirtan outside, and lots of hearing and chanting. So that's one of the best things about having a nimble and flexible sangha. I first offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you, because you are Vaishnavas, and therefore you are the most worshipable in the three worlds. Hare Krishna. Do we have some Bhagavad Gitas? Because one of the practices that I learned early on when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, that you can do anywhere at any time, is that of a chanting of one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. And if you do that, and you get in the habit of doing it, then you'll be happy every day. You'll have good intelligence to make wise decisions. And you'll be able to overcome any kind of problems. Does that sound like three good reasons to chant Bhagavad Gita?
Yes.
Does anybody do that? Have you tried it? Nirukula does it. I've seen her. One thing is, sometimes you think of hearing and chanting as something you have to carve out time for, which is helpful. But I find that just moving around the world, there's a lot of extra time that you can use. For instance, I was just traveling here from Italy, and in the airport, I think I memorized a verse. And then just driving over here, I was able to pull it out of my pocket and look at it again. I was just ready for it at any time. And there's a lot of gaps. Like, did anybody here wait in lines anywhere? Actually, you call them queues, sorry. I got to learn how to speak English over here. You wait in a queue? Which queue do you wait in?
Queue in the bank.
The bank. Bank queue. Okay. Any other queues? Yes?
When we go to shopping.
To where? Shopping. Yeah. So, like, you call them grocery stores here? What do you call them?
Supermarket.
So, the supermarket? How about the post office? Does anybody go to the post office anymore? No, not so much. You do? Okay. You're out and about a lot, aren't you? It's good for you. Well, this means when you're in a line, if you have your shastra in your pocket or in your bag, which is easy enough to do now because everything's digitized, you just pull it out and start reading. And I always notice other people have that queue anxiety. They're waiting in the queue and they're looking around like, how long is this going to take? And when I pull my shastra out, I start reading the line. I think, take your time, because I got a little ways to go here. So that's, if you have a goal every day for your hearing and chanting, it's something that your mind will be attracted to. And you'll think, yeah, let me finish it. Let me finish my goal. It doesn't have to be huge, but if you have something that's consistent that you do every day, and you finish a certain number of pages, and maybe there's something like a chapter of Bhagavad Gita that you chant. And when you finish it, you feel really satisfied. The other thing is you start to get addicted to it. And I've noticed this at our temple, which is called ISKCON of Silicon Valley. We call it ISV for short. But it also, the secret meaning is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Do you know where that came from? Well, back in the 1970s, Srila Prabhupada had a manager named Karandar Das. He was really an expert person. And he had some ideas about how to manage, and Prabhupada was training him up. So he wrote him a letter. Among other things, he said that in any kind of a community or organization, you should create an atmosphere in which the devotees want to do devotional service that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. That's ISV, the ISV spirit. And so there's a program that I do at ISV, which is with the kids, they're younger kids, anywhere from 5 up to 16 every week. And of course we have kirtan, everybody likes kirtan, right? Say yes.
Yes.
And then we also started chanting shlokas together. So we'd sit in a room, and you know, we have the shlokas available, and we just start chanting them. And one thing I notice is the kids start learning them really fast. They just hear it and they learn it. Even kids who can't read yet, they sit there in the room and they actually just, they're listening. And I see after a few weeks, they start mouthing the shlokas and they just hear it and they do it. Actually, Radhika Raman Prabhu, you know Radhika Raman? He's a young scholar. Actually, he grew up in Krishna consciousness and he learned to read from the Bhagavatam. He's originally from Boise, Idaho. He used to write articles that won national awards and things like that. And then he became a PhD, I think, by the time he was 19. Now he's a full professor at some university. But he's a really a pure devotee and an excellent lecturer and so forth. So, yeah, he learned to read from the Bhagavatam growing up, Radhika Raman did. He was telling us about how actually the shastras were passed down orally originally. You all know that, right? The writing of shastras happened later when there were scribes. Some of the scribes didn't even know how to read or write. They just knew how to copy stuff. And so he said the oral tradition of the shastras was actually more accurate, as people would learn from the time they were young the different verses from the Vedas. So you know anybody named Trivedi? That means somewhere in their family they learned three Vedas. It's pretty amazing. And so they had different ways. Just by listening and chanting over and over again, they would start to learn it. So I noticed with our kids that they get into a kind of a trance with the Sanskrit. And a study came out recently, within the last couple of years, it's called the Sanskrit Effect. And it was a secular study. It had nothing to do with the Krishna consciousness movement or any kind of theological point. It was just saying how kids who learn Sanskrit, it actually improves their brain. So learning shlokas Sanskrit shlokas is really an edifying kind of practice that anybody can do. And some of the easiest shlokas to learn is Bhagavad Gita, and it's also, Bhagavad Gita is accepted everywhere. So all of you are teachers. You're poised, really, from this very room to take over the world, whether you know it or not. And if you learn maybe, you know, 40, 80, is that too much to ask? 40 or 80 shlokas from the Bhagavad Gita by memory, you kind of get to know them really well. Is that possible? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes louder.
Yes.
Yeah, of course it's possible. Yeah, so if you do that, then you can teach this philosophy of Krishna consciousness anywhere, to anybody. Even if you know 20 verses, or even 10, because they're so potent and they're so representative of the philosophy, because Bhagavad Gita really is a consolidation of the Upanishads. That's why it's sometimes called Gita Upanishad. So if you know Gita, you're really able to give an authoritative presentation about Krishna consciousness. That's kind of important. It really helps to be able to back up what you say. See, Prabhupada taught us that when you give a presentation in Krishna consciousness, it should be like a lawyer in court. So a lawyer doesn't go into court and say, "Your Honor, I believe this man's guilty." I was like, "Why do you think that?" "I don't know, I just think, you know, it's just what I think." No, you have to give case law precedent. You have to, right? Vera knows. You have to give case law and precedent. You know, Brown versus Board of Education, 1982. I don't know the date. It's American law. But there's that, you have to do that. So Prabhupada said you should know these books the way a lawyer knows his or her books. And that means, you know, you may not have to memorize everything, but you should know where everything is and what the meanings are. And a couple of the books that you can start on, one is Shri Upanishad. How many of you have read the Shri Upanishad? How many of you know one verse from the Shri Upanishad? I won't call on you, so though you can raise your hand. It's really easy to learn. It's only with the invocation, you know, Om Purnama Dat Purnamidam, then it's only 19 verses altogether. And really important, powerful verses. So that's something you can learn. And then the Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses altogether. But there's some key ones that are really important. So you want to try chanting a chapter together, see what it feels like? I warn you, when you do this, it could become addictive. So if you don't want to develop a good habit, you can wait outside. And then we'll call you when we're done. All right? Is that fair enough? I'm just going to rearrange my seat. Okay, who would like to pick a chapter?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2 is kind of long. What are the two shortest chapters in the Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, we got some pundits in here. Very good. 15 and 12. And then some medium size? 16. 8. 7. What do we do 7? So turn to your... And the way we'll do this is we'll chant all together the Sanskrit. Okay? What is your name?
Ashwin.
Ashwin? Ashwat. Ashwat. Okay, Ashwat. What do you think? We'll do the Sanskrit all together? And then we can go back and read the English. Fair enough? Okay. You all ready? Say yes.
Yes.
Shri Bhagavanuvacha Maya Satamana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashayaha Asamshayam Samagramam Yata Gyasyasi Tachtrinu Gyanam Teham Savigyanam Idam Baksham Yasheshataha Yaj gyatva neha bhuyo nyaj gyatavyam avishishyate manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchim mam veti tatvataha bhumir apo nalo vayu kammano bhutirevacha Ahankara ithiyame vina prakritir ashtada apareyamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat Etatyoni nibhutani sarvani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayastata matak paratanam nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigana eva rasoham apsukaunteya prabhasmi shashi surya yoho pranavak sarva vedeshu shabda ke paurushandrashu punya gandha prativyam cha tejas chasmi vibhavasau jivanam sarva bhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu bijamam sarva bhutanam vidiparta sanatanam buddhir buddhiman tamasmi tejas tejas vinamaham balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vibarjitam dharma virodhu bhuteshu kamusmi bharatarshabha Echaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasascha ye mata iveti tanvidhi natvaham teshu te mayi tribhir gunamayer bhaver ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam navijanati mamebhya param avyayam Daiva hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayametam tarantite namam tushvitinu mudha prapadyante naradama mayaya pritagyana asuram bhavamashritaha Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignasur artarti jnani cha bharatarshabha tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyohi jnani no tyartam aham sacha mama priyaha udarak sarve vaite Jnani tvatmai vamematam hastita sahi yuktatma mamevam tamam gatim bahunam jamanam ante jnanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha kamaistaiste hrita jnana prapadyante nyadevata Tam tam niyama mastaya prakritya niyataswaya Yo yo yam yam tanum bhakta shradayarchitam ichyati tasya tasya chalam shradham tameva vidadham yaham Sataya shradaya yuktas tasya ardhanam ihate labhate cha tata kaman Mayaiva vihitan hitan antabattu palam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam devan devaya joyanti madbhaktayanti mamapi avyaktam vyaktam apannam manyate mamabudhayaha parambhavam ajananto mamavyayam anuttamam Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha mudhoyam nabhijanati loko mamajam avyayam Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna pavishyani cha bhutani mantu veda nakashyana Icha dvesha samutena Dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva muhani mukta vajanti mam tridavrata jara marana mokshaya mama shritya yatanti ye te brahma tadvidu kritsnam adhyatmam karma chakilam sari bhutari daivam mam sari yajnam shaye vidu prayana kali pichamam te vidu yukta cheta saha. And now let's read the English, and we'll do it. Do you have a remote mic that passes around? We'll read the English translations. Everyone can read one, and I'll start while he's getting the microphone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Now hear, O Sunaprata, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." Ashva, you read number two.
Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all together, these eight constitute my separated material energies.
Besides these, O mighty Aunt Arjuna, there is another, superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities for exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature.
All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution.
O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread.
O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om, the Vedic mantras, and I understand the infinite.
I am the origin of creation of the earth, and the heat and fire, and I am the light of all that lives, and I am the finite of all ascetics.
O Sotapatta, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men.
I am the strength of the strong, the void of passion and desire. I am sex life, which is not contrary to me, which is visible, O Lord of the paradise of Arjuna.
Know that all states of being, be they of goodness, passion, or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me.
Driven by the three modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes of inaccessible.
This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who are surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it.
Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me.
O first among barracks, what kind of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me? The distressed, the desirer of wealth, inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute.
Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me.
All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. But he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal.
After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that ends. Such a great soul is very rare. I am in everyone's heart as a super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I take his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity.
Endowed with such a faith, he endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benefits are bestowed by me alone.
Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet.
Unintelligent men, you do not mind me perfectly. Think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme.
I'm never manifested to the
I know everything that has happened in the past, all that is happening in the present, and all things that are yet to come. I also know all the entities, but me no one knows.
Arjuna Bharat, O conqueror of birth, all living entities are born in creation, bewildered by dualities, arising from desire and hate.
Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination.
Intelligent persons who are endeavoring for liberation from old age and death take refuge in me in devotional service. They are actually Brahman, because they entirely know everything about transcendental activities.
Those in full consciousness of me who know me, the Supreme Lord, to be the governing principle of the material manifestation of the demigods and of all methods of sacrifice, can understand and know me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even at the time of death. We did it. How long did that take, by the way? How long?
Less than 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes of the demigods. Probably about 10 minutes. How many hours do you get in a day here in UK?
24.
You get 24? Okay. We get that in California too. Yeah, you know, if you take 10 minutes, I don't know, some mathematical person can figure out what the percentage is, but it's really tiny. And really, with hearing and chanting, one of the secrets is what I like to call the wedge. When you use a wedge, it's got a really thin end and then a thicker end. And if you start small with something that you can do consistently and insert it into your life, your very busy lives, because everyone's busy these days, and then just continue it over time. And when you feel a taste, when you get a little taste for it, you can push it a little bit more of the wedge. It starts to open up a space for you. But the way Every inch of progress takes place in spiritual life is really it descends from a higher level, comes down to us, makes an avatar into our lives. And the most self-determining way that we can make that happen in our own lives is by putting ourselves in front of transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada once said that God helps those who help themselves. Have you ever heard that? And then he said, helping oneself means putting oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. So if you can, this is a very practical thing, chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. We have a website, it's called readchad.com. And you can check and see what everybody else is reading. We all stick on the same thing around the world. There are thousands of members. And, you know, during certain times of the year, actually, we change every two Ekadashis. So everyone knows what they're doing. And then there's some people report in, and there's some exchanges in that way. So the organization is called CHAD, Chapter a Day. And if you like, you can join at any time. Nobody can stop you. Just like in the Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada quotes this, Rupa Goswami quotes this verse. He says that, just like in the month of Magh, anybody been in northern India during Magh? It's freezing cold, foggy. You can take a bath in the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna. I went to Allahabad once to the Magh Mela. It was freezing cold, but we still took bath. And nobody could stop us. And the verse says that. It says, if you decide, I'm going to take bath in the month of Magh in a holy river, who can stop you? So if you decide, I'm going to read Bhagavad Gita every day. I don't care who says what. I'm doing it. Then, really, this is one of the ways, it's a staple. And you'll hear there are recordings of Prabhupada chanting chapters. He chants one chapter after another after another. And obviously, he knew the Bhagavad Gita. He used to do that, chant chapters of Gita. And if you do it, you'll start learning them. Okay, so now, after you do that, one thing that you can do is notice that any of the verses that we read as we were just breezing through, something might have called out to you, kind of stuck in your mind, like, that's an interesting verse, or what does that mean? I'd like to hear more about it. Which one did you hear that you'd just like to hear the purport to? Yes?
The one that had Nitya Yuktan Eka
Bhakti. Eka Bhakti, okay, that's just Chatur Vida Vajante Mam Jana Sukutinu Arjuna Arto Jignasa Artarti Gyani Chabart Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhakti Vishishite Priyohi Gyani No Tyartam Aham Sacham Amapriya. That one, right? So this one comes at number 17. And here's what it says. Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhakti Vishishite Priyohi Gnani no Tyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge. So when we say of these, I was talking about the verse just before it. And so what were we talking about? When Krishna is saying of these, out of these, what's he referring to? Yes?
The type of people that come to Krishna.
Yeah, good. What kind of people do come to Krishna consciousness, have you noticed?
Inquisitive.
Yeah. Some are inquisitive. That's one that he meant. Jignasur Artarti. What else? Who else comes according to Krishna? The distress. Yeah. Anybody else? People need money. God, please give me a color TV. It's an old song. And then one who's actually in knowledge, he's a great soul. So now, the next verse is Krishna's differentiating, like, who's better out of this group. So he says, of these, the one who is in full knowledge, who is always engaged in pure devotional service, is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. How many of you want to hear the purport? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, cover your ears. Purport, free from all contaminations of material desires, the distressed, the inquisitive, the penniless, and the seeker after supreme knowledge can all become pure devotees. But out of them, he who is in knowledge of the absolute truth and free from all material desires becomes a really pure devotee of the Lord. And of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge and is the same, and is, I'm starting over, and of the four orders, the devotee who is in full knowledge in and is at the same time engaged in devotional service is, the Lord says, the best. By searching after knowledge, one realizes that his self is different from his material body. And when further advanced, he comes to the knowledge of impersonal Brahman and Paramatma. When one is fully purified, he realizes that his constitutional position is to be the eternal servant of God. So by association with pure devotees, the inquisitive, the distressed, the seeker after material amelioration, and the man in knowledge all become themselves pure. But in the preparatory stage, the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional services very dear to the Lord, he who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of God, it is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. Okay, so now turn to somebody next to you and tell them one thing that you heard from this purport that you remember. And then the person that you told will tell what you told them. Are you ready? All you have to do is just one thought, one concept, a sentence, turn to the person next to you and discuss it. Go ahead. Okay. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Okay. So what did the person next to you tell you that he or she heard? Report back. Yes.
So Golokananda Prabhu, he said that the first sentence really stuck out to him.
Oh.
Any of the four can become a pure devotee.
Oh, that's nice, huh? He set Nirkula lights on. He said he noticed the first sentence, it stuck out, that any one of the four can become a pure devotee. How does that make you feel, first of all? It makes me feel pretty good. Yeah, any one of the four. This is an important theme throughout the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna talks about how anybody from any situation, whatever they're in now, they can become a pure devotee. Do you want to hear more about that? Just the concept? You want me to expand on it a little bit? Say yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Okay, so I'm gonna show you a purport that's gonna change your life. For the good, for better. But if you don't want that to happen, you can wait outside. Okay, so turn to 331. I'm sorry, Anjali's gonna miss this. I feel bad. Yeah, because this is really powerful. Let's take one other reflection before we... What else did you hear before I read this purport?
Prabhupada said that association is very important.
Oh, wow. You got some good stuff out of this. And these two things. First of all, anyone can become a pure devotee from the four classes of people who approach Krishna. And then the other one is about how important association is. You know, there are examples given by our acharyas about the four kinds of people who come. Who would you think of if you thought of somebody who wanted money or artha? Means they wanted wealth. That's why they were approaching God. It was unabashed. They were not shy about it at all. You know, go ahead, I can tell. Dhruva Maharaj. What did he want? Did he want love of God? No? What did he want?
Kingdom.
He wanted a kingdom. That was it. And Narada, you know, when he met Narada. And that's a very interesting point, too, because Dhruva Maharaj was just little. He was a five-year-old. And then his father disrespected him because his father was controlled by one of his queens that wasn't the biological mother of Dhruva Maharaj. And when Dhruva Maharaj just out of affection wanted to sit on the lap of his father as his stepbrother was, his father rejected him because he was deferring to the stepmother. And he said, no, you can't sit, you know. And Dhruva was like, what? And then the stepmother really insulted him and said, you know, if you want to sit on his lap, you take birth from my womb, maybe next life, kid. And he took off to his real mother and said, you know, I'm furious, what do I do? And she said, well, you got to go to God. Where's God? Yogis find him in the forest. Sorry, I'm going to the forest. And he just took off. And partway there, and which is a big deal, because first of all, kids, you know, outside the circle of protection by their parents and home and everything, usually don't make it very far. So that's unusual. And the other point was that on the way there, he met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni said that he had overheard the conversation. So then Prabhupada points out in his purport that how did he overhear the conversation? And he said, this is how one comes to spiritual life, meets a spiritual master. He said, because Dhruva Maharaj's desire was so intense that the super soul from within informed Narada Muni to intercept him on his way there. So the guidance comes when one really has a strong desire in the heart. So then Dhruva Maharaj, Narada tried to dissuade him from going to the forest. He said, look, just learn how to relate to people who are in different situations of life. You can be in the mode of goodness that way. You shouldn't get so upset. And what did Dhruva say? He said, thanks for the advice. I got to go. He said, I can't take that kind of advice. I'm a Kshatriya. He said, I'm not appreciating it very much. Divyanam, you got to keep me on track here too as far as the time goes. Because you know what will happen, right? Yes. Let's keep going. So then Dhruva told Narada what he wanted. He said, I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather. He wanted to rule the universe, basically. And my mother used to say, never underestimate the power of all show them. It really came out in Dhruva. And then he actually didn't want it later. Swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. It's a famous verse. When he finally, after he does his austerities, chants his mantra, and he meets the Lord who appears there. He was actually seeing him internally, and then he opened his eyes, and there he was externally. And the Lord touched him on the head with his conch. And there he became empowered, and he sang beautiful, beautiful prayers, empowered by the Lord. And he said, now I don't want it. And the thing I asked for, I'm not interested in anymore. Because now I have something better. So the verse I just quoted said, he said, I was looking for broken bits of glass. Now I found the greatest jewel. So this often happens. And it's mentioned throughout the Shastra that someone may start with a motivated desire to reach God. One of the famous verses in the Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. And this Bhagavatam says, whether akama, you don't have any desire, right? No desire. Sarva means all. Don't be shy. Sarva, belt it out, means all. Yeah, say all. Sarva kama, so kama means desire, yeah. So it says, akama sarva kama va. If you don't have any material desire, or you have all material desires, is that possible? You ever meet anybody like that? Yeah. Or you have all material desires. Moksha kama, or the person just wants to be liberated. Moksha kama dadati tivrena bhakti yogina. It says, the Bhagavatam says, all of you just take the devotional service because your intention will be purified. And Krishna is expert at that. And there are many verses in the Shastra which explain how if one comes to Krishna, one of them in the fifth canto, satyam dishati artito artito nirnam naivartito yat artito yata swayam vitate bhajatam anichatam ichapitaram nijapadapallavam. This is Krishna speaking, and he says, so sometimes the people, they come to me, they surrender, and then they start asking for all kinds of material things. Possible? Yeah. And then he says, so I give it to them. But I do it in such a way that I don't want it anymore. They won't ask for it. Instead, I give them my lotus feet, and I cover over their desires. So we were going to read a verse in which Krishna talks about how if you have sincere desire to advance in devotional service, doesn't matter where you start from, then you'll be successful. You want to hear it?
Yes.
331. Here it is. So the verse is, Ye me matam idam nityam anuchishtanti manava shudhavanto nasuyanto muchante tepi karmabhi. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy, become free from the bondage of fruit of actions. Did you ever find the mic? The second one? Okay, I'll read it then so the devotees online can hear too. Purport. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruit of action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely, without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. See? Didn't I tell you? Did you find that encouraging? One person does. Okay, so could you just reflect back on that? Tell me why you liked it so much. Okay, look at it again. Who else heard something from there that caught their interest? I'll tell you what I heard, one thing I heard, is that you don't have to be perfect when you start off. In fact, he says right here in the purport, he says, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. So in the beginning, you can't do it perfectly. There may be gaps all over the place. You may not even have... You may be in such a complicated situation in your life that it's very hard to do much of anything. But because you have that sincere desire in your heart and you keep trying and you don't give in to hopelessness or defeat, then you'll be successful. On the other hand, there may be somebody who's an erudite scholar, knows the whole Bhagavad Gita, but because they actually really don't have faith in Krishna, they'll never be successful. That's the difference. What other things did you hear? Oh, okay, tell us, because you lit up when we heard this.
Mine was really actually more the faith that no matter how much is going on around you, if you do it with full faith, knowing that you'll get the bhakti in the end without envy and sincerity that you will actually get the bhakti.
Yeah, don't envy. And so what's the envy? Ye me matam idam nityam. Krishna says, whatever I say is true. And somebody may then try to change that and say, like, well, it's not always true, or it's, you know, Krishna's a fictitious character or something like that. But if somebody's just very simple and they say, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he says is true, even if you can't do much about it right now, if you hold that and you try, then you'll become successful. What do you think? It's good, right? Okay, so what other things did you hear? We'll take a couple more from the, from when you were, you told somebody next to you what you got out of the chapter. What'd you hear? Go ahead. Yeah. He knows the difference between the soul and body. Which person knows that?
The devotee.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Because all problems, I'm going to give you a statement that will be very useful. All problems, all anxiety in life come from making one simple mistake. And that is thinking that I'm the body. There's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Bhayam dvitiya abhinibesha tasyat ishara pitasya viparyajo smitihi. So it means that if somebody makes the mistake and thinks I'm the material body, then the next thing that happens is fear arises. Bhayam, syat. And what's that? Because actually I don't die and there actually is no problem. But when I identify with the material body and I think this is me, then there's a problem. One more. Yes?
Right in the middle where it says there are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita but have no faith in Krishna. But that's quite well connected to the verse Devi Hesha Gunamai, where those philosophers, they may speak all these you know, different philosophies, but essentially they don't have faith. And then it says about the ordinary man, they may not be scholars, but they have faith in Krishna. And thereby they're taking shelter of Krishna,
yeah,
and overcoming the bondage of materialism.
That's true, and they understand the import of Vedic scriptures. There's a famous verse, probably once told somebody it's the most important verse in the Shastra. Yasya devi pra bhaktir yata devi tata garau tasyaite katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana. It means that for one who has implicit faith in Krishna and the Guru, for that person, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. So if somebody has firm faith, then they can come to perfect knowledge. Whereas if they don't have faith, it doesn't matter what kind of scholar they are. There have been many people who have written about Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said when he first came, he said, but I can't recommend any of them because they're not written by devotees. So they don't really mean anything. Yeah. Okay, Divyanam Prabhu, how much time do we have? Oh, no. Okay, time flies when you're having fun. Anyway, this hearing and chanting is very important. And if you do this one thing, little wedge activity, you try chanting. I mean, it's a big thing to ask, I know. I just got here. But if you try this one thing, don't do it forever. Just try it for a week and see what happens. That is, chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. See if you can do this, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chad challenge. See if you can chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day for a week. And all you have to do is at least the Sanskrit or at least the English. That means the verses. What do you think? How many people in the room here are there? Out of that, I think that was about 1/4 of the room. You all want to try it? If you do it, I'll do it. How's that? If you try it, I'll try it. I really will. I'm going to really try. And so if you do it, I'll do it. We'll stick together. And we'll try for 1 week, and we can check in and see how we did. But you will notice a definite change in your consciousness and in your life. Because Bhagavad Gita is directly Krishna speaking. And when you listen to it, it actually clarifies a lot of things. Never shop when you're hungry. Did you ever hear that? Did you ever try it? Yeah, it's really bad. So don't shop when you're hungry. And the same thing, don't go out in the world and look around and do stuff before you have some inner satisfaction. And the best way to get it is from chanting good rounds and also chant at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita to try for the next week. And you can check in on readchad.com. And if you do that and you want to do more, I'm trying to cram a bunch in here so we just have a little time. But the other thing is, I have an app. It's called Be a Sage Page by Page. And in this app, it's available for both Android and iOS. If you go to this app, anybody have it? Be a Sage? So there's a picker wheel. You can spin it, and then you can pick any of Prabhupada's books. And then you can decide how many pages you want to read a day, or you can say how long you want to take to read a particular book. Do you have anybody have the app open? Nirkula, can you tell us? Here, hold it up so they can just see the color of the app. The other way, yeah. Go, ooh, ah. Okay, Bhagavad Gita. Let's just say if you're going to read the Bhagavad Gita, but it seemed like something you should probably do another time because you're so busy right now. But you wanted to break it down into small pieces. And let's just say, okay, 3 months. I'll take 3 months to read the whole Bhagavad Gita. Nirkula, please tell us how many pages you'd have to read a day. Yes, sir. One chapter a day is a good idea. I agree. 8 pages a day, but all you have to do is read 8 pages a day, Ashwat, and you'll finish the whole Bhagavad Gita in 3 months. But that's too much. That's just too much to ask, Nirkula. Let's say 6 months, because I'm going to be 6 months older in 6 months anyway. How many pages would I have to read every day? 4 pages a day. So if you read 4 pages of Bhagavad Gita a day, and how many of you are thinking, like, anybody could do that, that's easy? Yeah? It is kind of easy, but doing it every day, that's... You'll notice that, you know, you get through 3 days, a week even, and then something will happen. What will happen in your life? Name something that will throw you off your course. You should have a whole list of these. What? What did you say?
Holiday.
Okay, yeah, holiday. You know, so you go on a holiday. When you travel, you know, your normal schedule changes. I can tell you all about that. You know, your normal schedule changes. So, you know, like, and you might, like, I'm flying. I don't know what's night or day anyway, so. And what other thing might distract you?
The Cricket World Cup.
The Cricket World Cup. Isn't Pakistan and India playing or something? Or did I miss? I missed it, right? Don't even talk about it? Okay. Don't bring it up. So the cricket game could come on. It's like, do I want to do my Gita? Or could I just, like, yes?
A relative advice.
That's a real killer. Yeah, who doesn't like Bhagavad Gita and doesn't want to hear any Krishna katha? All these things can happen. So here's the thing. If you can figure out over 7 days how to keep it going, then a special spiritual fruit will come into your life. Hare Krishna. Thank you for making the long journey. Great to see you, Jadarani. Hare Krishna. And so now we're going to go out and distribute a few Bhagavad Gitas. And please repeat after me. Book distribution.
Book distribution.
Is fun and easy.
Book distribution
is fun and easy. Now turn to somebody next to you and tell them that. See? trying to tell you. So one thing is, here's a few tricks that will help you and make it more fun and more easy than ever before. One is, don't put any expectation on yourself. Don't worry about it. The only reason we go out really is for self-purification, because it takes a little bit of courage to walk out the door, right? Because as soon as I'm about to walk out the door, just to go out for, you know, an hour or something like that and meet people, I might hear my mom calling me. And she wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I gotta go. Sorry, I can't come with you. So, yeah. Don't worry about it. Just go out and see what Krishna has in store for you. And the other thing is pick ripe fruits. That means just look for people who are already a little bit open. You don't have to chase anybody. You don't have to convince anybody so much. You just look for people that are already smiling and happy and that appreciate the fact that you're alive. And that's pretty good. Do you have any questions before we go? Or Divyanam Prabhu, should I give any more orientation? Or do you?
I think just quick tips on Bhagavad Gita would be nice so that the devotees, when they go out, they can try it out actually.
Okay. Would you come up just for a sec? You can leave those two things here and just sit right here. Hi.
Hello.
I'm from California. Where are you from?
Crawley.
Crawley. I love Crawley. Nice to be here. This is from San Francisco to Crawley. There are books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress, right?
Yes.
Really? Because you don't look stressed to me. In fact, don't mind me saying this, but you look spiritual.
Oh, wow. Thank
what you. Is your secret?
Vegetarianism.
I knew it. Here, I'll show you really quick. This is a famous book. Remember Gandhi?
Yeah.
He read this book. Also the Beatles, yeah. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, Tupac Shakur. They all read it. He did read it. Yeah. Can you read that? I'm showing him the Sanskrit. Say no.
No.
I just... I was just testing you. It's all been translated in English. In fact, this book has been translated over 400 times into the English language. It's so popular. And out of all the versions, this has become the most famous in the universities. University of Chicago, Paris Institute of Study, and just show a few places. You see, it's in the front of the book. And here it is in a nutshell. We start here. I'm showing them changing bodies. Everyone turn to this page. We start here, we end up here, we're just passing through. Life's a quick journey. Say, life's a quick journey. Life's a quick journey. Where are you in all this?
Probably.
Let the record show he said there and then he changed to here. Okay, and this shows a self-realized person. A self-realized person treats everyone with respect.
A self-realized person treats everyone with respect.
Because he or she sees the spirit within everyone.
He or she sees the spirit in everyone.
You've heard of karma, right?
Yeah.
What does it mean to you?
You do good, bad good come back to you.
Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. Okay, you know, you asked me what karma means to me. You asked
me. What karma means to you?
Oh, you know, it's like cosmic. There's there's rabbits and rainbows and butterflies, and it's unbelievable. And then you say, whoa.
Whoa.
I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. And what do you do professionally?
Banker.
Well, really? Are you an investment banker?
No, just retail.
This guy was a retail banker. So when we show him this picture, half the people say, ha ha ha, and the other half the people say, really? And then they say, no, not really. And then they say, ha ha ha. And then I hand them the book back and say, We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money, but it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations, and it allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And then watch, you'll give a donation.
Apple Pay.
Apple Pay, yes, we take Apple Pay. MasterCard, Visa, American Express, PayPal, Apple Pay, Venmo. Thank you. Cell phone's fine too. And so then when they give a donation, and then we teach them the Maha Mantra. So who has a mantra card? Right? You happen to have one handy. Okay. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Sometimes.
Okay, perfect. We'll give you a mantra. And so sometimes people say, yeah, I believe in the power of prayer. Then say, I'll teach you this prayer. Now say, no. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
No.
Perfect. I'll give you a mantra. Okay. This is meant to, if it's a prayer, it's meant to wake up love for God in the heart. If it's a mantra, it's meant for self-realization. It'll aid your meditation. I'll say it one time, you can repeat, and you'll know how to do it. Are you ready? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
You're a natural. And then from there, do we have prasadam to give out?
Yes.
Where is it? Could I see one piece?
It's like fridge.
What do you got?
Some coconut balls.
Some what?
Coconut balls.
Coconut balls. This I gotta see. You made them yourselves, eh? That's really nice. So then, just after that, give prasadam and tell them thank you for being so nice, and tell them thank you for taking your valuable time. Thank you very much for taking your valuable time. Okay, now you say it back to me, what I just did. Well, these are beautiful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Do you remember any of it? Say, which of the parts that you remember? Or do you know the whole thing already?
I can recite something.
Okay. So the first thing is, make a conscious contact with people. Because people are walking along, and you don't know whether to talk to them or not. How do you decide? You have to use your radar. So your radar comes out of your hand. Hold your hand up like this. Hold your hand up. There's a beam that comes out of your hand right here. What's your name?
Manjari.
Huh? Manjari, there's a beam that comes out of your hand. You didn't know that, did you? It's a radar beam, and when you shoot it at somebody and you use the mantra I'm going to teach you, then you're going to get a reading back that tells whether they're a ripe fruit or unripe fruit. So who do you want to point it at? Okay, point it. Now repeat after me. I'll say the mantra. Are you pointing it at her? Okay. Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Was she a ripe fruit or unripe? There you go. So you know. Now watch if I shoot mantra, I'm going to shoot my radar, and I'm going to get an unripe fruit. He's going to be an unripe fruit. Are you ready? Hi.
Hi.
No. He can't help it. Unripe. Be unripe. Hi. Yeah, and some people, they won't even look at you. They'll pretend like you don't exist. How does that make you feel? Not very good, right? So consciousness is important. You know, you'd start to see when you deal with consciousness and experiment with it when you go out and try to interact with people that, you know, the consciousness is consequential. So you're looking for people, hi, and when you get a response, then you can ask a question, qualifying question. I'm from Crowley, where are you from? Or if there's a neighborhood within Crowley, so you can, you know, narrow it down a little bit more. I'm from South Crowley. Where are you from? I'm from North Crowley. North Crowley? I love North Crowley here. Then we'll show you one too. Say show.
Show.
Show. Because showing, there's nothing wrong with showing. And when I hand the book over, I'm saying it's a book on yoga and meditation.
It's a book on yoga and meditation.
It shows you how to get free from stress. And now I ask a question. You've heard of stress before, right? Have you heard of stress?
Yes.
Really, because you don't look stressed. You look very peaceful, actually. In fact, don't mind me saying this, but you look spiritual. Now turn to somebody next to you and say, you look tired. So how do you feel now? Kind of crummy, right? Like you start looking in the mirror, it's like, maybe I look bad. Now turn to somebody next to you and say, you look spiritual. How do you feel? You're instantly self-realized when you say that, because you are spiritual and all of a sudden you realize it. So when you say to people just that you meet, you look spiritual, they'll suddenly go like, oh wow, yeah, I forgot, I'm from the spiritual world. And they realize that they're actually spiritual. And then, here's the big question. What's your secret? Turn to somebody next to you and say, what's your secret? And so they'll tell you their secret, or they won't. And if they don't tell you their secret, then you have to suggest one for them. It's like, I don't have a secret, so you must just come from a good family. And then say, here, I'll show you really quick. So the idea is that we're qualifying the person to take a look at the book. And one of the points I'm making here is that I'm not condescending, but I'm appreciating them as a spiritual being. And my stance always is, you know more than I do. You know more about this than I do. You teach me. So now I'm just showing them their book. And I go to the back cover, says Gandhi on the back, and you can throw in a couple more names, like the Beatles and Tupac Shakur. And then you've got the Sanskrit. Can you read this? No, I can't read it, just testing you. It's been translated many, many times into English. This has become the most popular academically. You can show them some of the universities. Then a couple of pictures. One of them is the changing bodies picture, which you just open to and just show them and say, look it, we start here, we end up here. Life's a quick journey, right? And then next thing, a self-realized person treats everyone with respect. Because he or she sees the spirit in everyone's heart. And then you've heard of karma, right? What does it mean to you? Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it would be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally?
I'm a banker.
This guy used to be a banker. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. Repeat after me. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations. And allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Well, I don't have any cash. Great, we don't take cash. I don't have any cash. Say.
I don't have any cash.
Oh yeah, we don't take cash. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Apple Pay, Venmo. And then you have sliders, right? Credit card sliders?
Yes.
So make sure every group has a slider. And then comes the mantra after he gives a donation. Believe in the power of prayer? No? Perfect. I'll give you a mantra. Right. It's for your meditation. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare
Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. This for being so kind. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking your valuable time. Give him a hand. Okay, so what's the plan?
The plan is for the devotees, so this thing we're going to walk because the street is very close by. We're going
okay.
To hurry up,
okay.
While walking, and then we'll do a little bit of book distribution. And then devotees will continue. However, we have to move on to London Maharaj for the programs.
Okay, so if anybody would like to work close to me, then feel free. I don't mind how many other people stand around, it's okay, as a group. And then you can just watch and listen, and when I ask you to participate, which I will, it's a simple thing, like just say your name, introduce yourself. Like I'll say my name's Vaish, and then they'll, you know, I'll point to you and you say your name. Other than that, you don't need to help. No interjection, no add a card or tell them our website or anything like that. It just throws the timing off. And the only reason I teach a template is because if you have a little confidence in a template and then try it out, and you'll see that it works, and I guarantee you this will work, you'll be able to distribute books anywhere at any time to anybody, except for Indians. And let me just give a little caveat. Indians will take, they'll all give, but here's how you do it. You never hand them a book, especially the Bhagavad Gita. So when you meet an Indian, introduce yourself and appreciate them like anything. And mention the fact that they know more than you do. And don't put up a card or a book or anything like that. Just find out where they're from, appreciate their hometown and what they're doing, and then tell them what you're doing. And that is, we, as you know already, Bhagavad Gita helps solve the problems of the world from a spiritual platform. In fact, you know this better than I do. Say that. That's a mantra you want to use all the time. You know more than I do. How does that make you feel, by the way, when you say that? You know more than I do. It's not a natural sentence. You know more about this than I do. In fact, your mother read Bhagavad Gita. Your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. Right? Okay. So it's not for you. You already know this better than I do. So what we're doing is we're setting up schools all over the world to teach Bhagavad Gita, and we're printing Bhagavad Gita in many different languages. Like, we're printing them in Japanese, Chinese, German, Dutch, and we're distributing all over the world to make the world a better place. And today we're doing a fundraiser. Everyone say fundraiser.
Fundraiser.
And we're just asking for money. Say, we're just asking for money. So we ask everyone to give money. And when you tell an Indian that, they'll be very happy to give money. If you give them the book first, they'll come right back at you with a whole armory of excuses why they already know Bhagavad Gita, their mother knows Bhagavad Gita, their grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. But if you tell them that first, and don't try to give them a Bhagavad Gita, and tell them that they can help to spread the Bhagavad Gita because they know more about it than you do, then they'll be happy to help, and they'll give you a donation. Afterwards, you can give them all the books in the world, and they'll be thrilled to take them home. So those are the two sides. Does anybody have any questions before we go out? Yes. Yes, but not at all.
Just a question, actually, is because there is a book, distributed books in Croyde, and then every time, like, all the faith distributors are there, and we really struggle. So many times we caught up with very strong Christian preachers, and there's sometime one person came and gave me a big slap on the back saying that we are Christians, how come you, like, distributing books here, Hare Krishna books and all this. So how do you come and, like, what should be your response?
Well, what I say to those who start to reveal themselves as being a Christian or any, they already are filled up with their own conception and what they want to do. Like, for instance, a Christian, I'll say, we need more people like you in the world. It's people of faith like you who are keeping the world afloat. And I thank you very much for what you're doing. And then walk away. And if you can't figure out a way to get away, then grab onto your phone like it just vibrated, and it's, 1 second, I have to take this, I'll see you later. But some people, if you appreciate them, here's just a principle. Always honor the objection. When you resist an objection, then it grows stronger. When you honor objections, then they dissipate. There's no foundation for them to stand on. So when people say, you know, I already know all this, and you go, I could tell by looking at you. You look like a person who already knows everything. That's why I approached you in the first place. Honor what they just said, and then it diminishes the foundation of it. And so, we're looking for ripe fruits. That means people are a little bit open. And if they're not open, then you're not obligated to spend time. Shastrically, you're not obligated. So don't feel obligated. Yes?
If we are still saying you know everything, then they think we know everything, then why should we buy the books?
Why should we buy the books?
Yeah.
Well, because we know what's in them, and we'd like to have them all. Are you playing the part of somebody who's... Okay, say it again. I got turned around. Explain it to me, Nirkula.
When you're talking to an Indian person on the street, you say, you know more about this than me.
Yeah.
And he's saying, why should, if they know more about it, then why should they buy the books?
It's not for you. Right. It's for others. You already know all about this. In fact, you know everything. So this is not for you. I'm talking, you're representing the person. This is not for you, this is for other people who don't know about it. When I was just in Ahmedabad, I went there and every person I told them, look it, you're sitting on the spiritual center of power of the world. People from Ahmedabad could change the whole world because it's the most pious place on earth. It's true too. You know, and people realize that, and I just say, you know, this is not for you. We're trying to help people all over the world. You already know this. You live this here. So I was presenting it to them like, you help the rest of the world. That's your job. And they got that. You know, it's true. Okay. Y'all, you know, usually we take more time, but I think you're already seasoned at this anyway, right?
Yeah.
But just don't worry. Yes. Okay, I'll teach you a trick. Just reach behind your head. There's a little switch. You can't find it? There's a switch behind your head, and you flip it, and you turn from a human to a robot. And then you don't have to worry about anything anymore. Well, one thing is just change your expectations. Don't go out to sell a book. Just go out because it's the right thing to do. And of what it makes of you to actually go out into the great unknown and see what happens. The reason that we go out anyway is for self-purification. Not because we're trying to, you know, we don't need money, that's true. We also, we'd like to share what we have, but, you know, just when Krishna makes the arrangement. So don't worry about it. Just go out and see what happens. And don't put an expectation on yourself. I'm not putting any expectation on myself. I'm just going, I've never been to Crowley before. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know one thing, that it's fun to see what's going to happen. You know, last time I was here in England, we were going door to door. And I was thinking, door to door, you know, especially in rich neighborhoods, you know, we don't do that as much. But I just surrendered to it. And so many wonderful things happened. Like one guy way across the street, I was going, hi. And he was at least 100 meters away, and he waved. He was a gardener. And I could tell there was something special about him, so I crossed the road and I got there, and he was deaf-mute. And I wrote it all on my pad and showed him what we were doing, and he went in the house and gave 20 quid, and he was really ecstatic. And if I hadn't gone out, I wouldn't have seen that. And the rest of the month, I was thinking, he's more enthusiastic about this than I am. What's wrong with me? I should get with the program and be more like him. You know, I got some inspiration. That came from Lord Nityananda. So you just go out and try to get some mercy from Lord Nityananda. Okay, so Divyanam Prabhu, what do we do now? Okay, Shamgobinda Prabhu.
I know we're short for time, but just wanted to thank Vaisheshika Prabhu and Nirukula Mataji for taking the time out and being with us today. We've been waiting for this moment.
There's no place I'd rather be. Yeah. It's just really, I mean, you're all, this is fantastic.
We were also speaking earlier, so hopefully we can make this a regular thing, or as regular as possible.
Arrivo!
There's so many other things I'd like to say, but I know we're short on time, and Vaisheshika Prabhu is someone in real demand, so many devotees want to speak and hear from him. But I just wanted to mention Vaisheshika Prabhu's book. Among the other amazing things that he does, he's also an author of this really wonderful book, Our Family Business. I don't know, Vaisheshika Prabhu, if you wanted to say a few words about the book.
Yeah, the book's not mine. I gave it to the VBT. I signed over the copyrights. The reason I wrote it was because I wanted the legacy to continue. I'm concerned mainly about passing on whatever I've learned to others. So this is a BBT book. You actually get points for selling it. It has a lot of history in it. It has all my realizations, anything that I've gained from being on book distribution for many years. And it also talks in some practical terms about how to organize book distribution, what are the principles of book distribution. One thing I have observed is that people I haven't met in countries around the world who have read this book were able to start a Sankirtan party or get started themselves, and I didn't even know them. So that served the purpose of writing the book, because I was traveling madly all over the world, and both my friend Keshav Bharti Maharaj and Nirgula cornered me one day and said, "You're not leaving the house till you finish the book." Right, Nirgul? Of course, she promised me prasadam too. So, and it took me 9 months. I didn't go out of the house, and I finished that book. And Keshav Bharti Maharaj said, if you take the time to write it, then whatever you're teaching in seminars and things like that will naturally be available around the world. So it does have some edifying power, you know, so you can come up to speed on book distribution. And also has the choices of quotes from Srila Prabhupada that answer a lot of the questions people have, like Harinam or book distribution, which should I do? And Prabhupada's answer was both. And there, that book distribution is, you're distributing kirtan in the written form. Why are you smiling? Why is he smiling? What?
He always smiles,
okay. It's good to be around somebody like that. Thank you. All right, so let's try it. And you'll tell everybody what to do and where to go, right?
Yeah, I think that was
okay, Prabhu.
So if we just follow Prabhu outside, we'll just do Harinam towards town centre, which is about a 5-minute walk. And then there's town centre, we can just do book distribution there for as long as you're free or as long as you're...
Okay, let's do that. Here, that's for your suite. I put it disadvantage. Vancha kalpadrivishcha kripasanabe vicha patitanam pavani vyo vaishnave vyo namo namaha nantakodi vaishnave niki jai
yar marman nachare yar marman nachare yar marman nachare yar marman hey nachare yar marman nachare yar marman nachare yar marman nachare yar marman